helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does one become a helper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does Allah, for example, need helpers? The answer is obviously not. Allah doesn't need anyone or anything. Allah is independent. Allah has been from time immemorial, and Allah continues to time immemorial. That means there is no beginning point and there is no end point to Allah. So if Allah is that powerful, why does Allah say, Kunu Ansar Allah, become the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reason why we become the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because Allah needs help, but because we need help, and by becoming the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will start utilizing different methods of existence and functioning in a way that will create more solution for ourselves, not only in this world, but for our benefit in the hereafter. This continues with also what we spoke about last week, where, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you cannot become a helper of Allah tomorrow. You cannot become a helper of Allah next week. We have to make the intention of becoming the helpers of Allah in the now, in the present. Because shaitan is very, very smart. He always wants you to make great intention. And after you make great intention, he finds a way to break that intention. Simple example. Someone tells you, brother, go in the path of Allah. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yes. And you'd even say, yes, I want to go in the path of Allah. But then shaitan kicks in. Why does he want you to go for Allah only 3 days? Where does it say in the hadith 3 days? Where does it say 40 days? Why only 40 days? 4 months? Why only 4 months? Then the guy will say, well, why don't you go all your life? While I have family at home, how can I go all my life? But you are forgetting the seed. The seed is, be in the path of Allah, be a helper of Allah. Shaitan comes in and he makes you break and go into an unnecessary dialogue and argument. And sometimes you look at people that are arguing, you'll be shocked. People, mashallah, with beards. Mashallah, with hat on the head. Mashallah, with good Islamic outfit. MashaAllah, they know Quran. MashaAllah, they know Hadith. But they're arguing like little kids. Why? How come? Because never underestimate the power of shaitan. Allah has given shaitan certain power. And I know some people would say, but Allah has power. Yeah, I'm not saying Allah doesn't have power. But Allah has given everything strength. You also have strength. La hawla wa la quwwata. Allah has strength. How you say I have strength? This is how shaitan plays in your brain. So therefore, we have to understand that shaitan, Allah has given him certain strength. He'll get you from the right, get you from the left, get you from the front, get you from the... Allah has created that. And Allah has also created a solution on how we have to do things and live our life that will minimize shaitan from gaining control over us. That is why Rasulullah ﷺ spent so many years on La ilaha illallah. 13 years. What, were people ignorant? What, they didn't have brain cells? They didn't have brains? They couldn't see between right and wrong. 13 years telling people, believe in one Allah. And today, I guarantee you, if you go to your family and you say, translate La ilaha illallah. They know the meaning of it. They know the meaning of it. But ask them to translate it. You'll be lucky if they know how to translate it. What is the meaning of La? What's the meaning of Ilah? What's the meaning of Illah? What's the meaning of who is Allah? You'll be lucky if they can translate it. Because as people, it's not only about translation, it's about an aspect of belief. And let me talk a little about belief. Our belief generally is associated, psychologists have said, with what is positive and negative. I'll make it very easy for you. Your belief in life is generally associated with what is positive or that which is negative. Let me give you a simple example. Why did you come to America? Why do you live in a certain neighborhood? Why do you wish your children had certain degrees? Why do you have this idea that if I make so much money, I'll be happy, and if I make so much money, I'll be sad? Each one of those beliefs can be broken, because we associate coming to America will give me pleasure. My child educating will give our family comfort. My child getting married in a certain family will make everyone happy. By my children going on a certain vacation, they'll come home and they'll be the most loving children thereafter. But yet we know, when your child comes from that vacation, Islamic country or wherever they may have went, the first thing they miss is Fajr Salah. Your idea of sending them there was, they'll hear the Adhan, they'll perform Salah, they'll become good. And within 3 days, everything is over. Marrying that certain individual was supposed to bring love. If my daughter marries a person from the village, my son will be the happiest. Next thing you learn, your son is the most sad individual. And you are more sad than your son, because you see your son sad. Our belief is, if I do this, I'll be happy, happy, happy. And if I do that, I'll be sad, sad, sad. My brothers and sisters, your belief is not on Allah, your belief is on your environment. Allah is telling you, don't make your belief based on your environment. Make your belief based on Allah. And what does Allah say? Allah says, if you have, for example, a simple nikah, there'll be barakah in your family. Society says, if you have a simple nikah, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived in a house that was so simple that when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make sajda, prostration, he would actually have to move the feet of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That's how small that room was. Now when you say move the feet, he didn't move with both his hands. He didn't push her like a tractor pushes things. No, you give that little bit of nudge and that person moves. And our belief, if I don't get that 5-bedroom home, then that's it. I'm not successful. Success is not on the amount of rooms you have. It's based on following a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is linked to Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, yesterday, there was a big debate. And the debate was on wearing pants above or below the ankle. Now, however you wear your pants is your issue. Now, the hadith says, anything below the ankle is in the fire of Jahannam. Right? There's one hadith that says that. Another hadith talks about, if a person wears it below the ankle, it can associate oneself with pride, because people used to have flowing garments to show the level of wealth. Now what does Hajar Asqalani say about it? He agrees. He will also say, for example, if you wear your pants below the ankle, okay, it happens. For example, you are a firefighter, you have to wear it below the ankle. You had a certain event you have to go, and you may be called upon to wear it in a certain way. Okay, you wear it. One is to wear it below the ankle. But to wear it below the ankle and say, well, I don't have pride. Hajar Asqalani says, that in itself is a form of pride. Because how can you say you don't have pride and therefore it's okay for you to wear it below the ankle? You see the logic? So the hadith is very beautiful. It says Rasulullah used to wait nisf saqain. That means he used to wait, not like how we wait, he used to wait up to here. And he's not demanding that we wait. For us, it is just to wait just a little bit above the ankle. That qualifies us to not get the curse of the hadith of Rasulullah, and at the same time to not be viewed amongst those that are part of what is proudful. Now, my brothers, if you study this from also a scientific point of view, do you know how much germs your clothes pick up when you drag your pant on the floor? Imagine your pant is going below the ankle, you go to the toilet. A tip of it or the back of it picks up a urine drop. It happens. People go to the toilet. Some of you are looking at me like you never went to the bathroom. But it happens. Or maybe you're processing what I'm saying, and that's fine. So now you are wearing a sandal, and I know what you're going to say, but that never happens to me. MashaAllah. What, a urine drop never comes on you? Are you that pure? So that urine drop comes onto your clothing because of the way in which you wore it. And because of that, you are now going to make wudu. When you make wudu, water may fall on that given part where there was urine. And what's going to happen later? That urine drop is now going to spread. And once it spreads beyond a certain amount, if you perform salah with that outfit, your salah becomes batil. Because if the urine drop goes beyond a certain amount, that's it, you're in a state of najis. And while you are in the state of najis and you perform salah, you know full well your salah doesn't go through. Now you understand the consequence of La ilaha illallah. What is La ilaha illallah saying? It is saying, try to live and live your life the way the Prophet of Allah lived his life, and associate your pleasures with the pleasure of Allah. Not with the pleasures of people. Associate your pain with what Allah and his Rasul ﷺ finds painful, not with the pain of people. Because people, they are not trustable. I'll give you a simple research that took place at Harvard. They had a red pill and a blue pill. Young ones know about pills more than I do. But anyway, Harvard did a research on pills. The red pill was supposed to make you high, and the blue pill was to make you feel relaxed. Now this survey or this research was done by doctors, and it was done upon doctors. So they had his medical students. So these were not stupid people. These were intelligent young men. And when they gave them the pill, they said this red pill will make you feel good, blue pill make you feel bad. Guess what? After they took those pills, that's exactly the way they felt. Those that took the red pill felt good. Those that took the blue pill, well, they felt not so good. It turns out in the red pill, there was the blue pill stuff. That means the thing that was supposed to make you feel good, actually that was not in the red pill. It was the opposite. And in the blue pill, the thing that was supposed to make you feel relaxed was actually the thing they put in there to make you feel high. So what does this tell you? That people by nature believe what you make them believe. People by nature, that's why they say humans are twisted, humans are weak, they act very strong. Humans by nature are very, very weak. They believe what you want them to believe. And they move away from what you want them to move away. That is why companies make billions of dollars. That is why your child loves Nike and Reebok. You think the Nike president is going to make Nike shoes? Do you really think the Nike president is going to sit and say, oh, this shoe I'm making, inshallah, a day will come when brother so-and-so from Utah in this certain mall is going to buy it. That poor fellow, when the shoe is being made, is made by a person and makes $3 a day probably. He never heard of you, he never even heard of the maker of that shoe. Yet, the ads create in our brain to do this or do that. That is why, my brothers and sisters in Islam, We have to love Allah the way Allah wants us to love Him. That means whatever we do has to be done in the way Allah wishes for us to do it. Our dressing, the way Allah or His Rasul had done it, to the best of our ability. Our eating, the way in which they had done it, to the best of our ability. And if you can't do it, at least you must say, I'm weak. But in today's time, we say we are weak. But you know why we say it different? We say we are weak, so the other one must say, no, you are very strong. Then we say, what did you say? And he must say it louder so everyone else can hear how he said, I am strong. Look at the games we play. So even when we say we are weak, we are being arrogant because we want people to acknowledge how strong we are. And then we wonder why our iman is getting weaker and weaker. So, kunu ansar Allah. We have to become the helpers of Allah. And the way in which we become helpers of Allah is examining the simple phrase. And this is all we should do for 1 week. Examine La ilaha illallah. I'm not even going into Muhammad Rasulullah and the implication of that. That may be too much for some of our young ones. So, as we go home, ask ourselves, what does Allah demand of me? What do I say when I believe there is only one Allah? How do I intend to fulfill my responsibility towards that Allah? What is my belief regarding that Allah? How do I fulfill my belief towards that Allah? You fulfill your relationships in a certain way. Your obligations to your children, a certain way. Obligations to school, a certain way. Obligations to your car, or responsibility to your car, a certain way. Every 3,000 miles, this 5,000, whatever it is. Everything we fulfill, because we know there are consequences to that. So the question for this week is, what is the consequences going to be upon me if I don't make La ilaha illallah a reality for myself and those around? And inshallah, by doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gradually continue to get us back on track in doing not only what is right and what is good, but connected with what Allah wants us to be connected towards. As you know, and 3-4 brothers, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you for asking me, we are going to be selling Qurbani shares, and the idea here is to, and the price last year I believe was 55, I was told, I did not know, this year it is $50. So if Allah has blessed you and you have the resources, I'll make it very simple. If you have more than the amount of nisab, you qualify for sacrifice of an animal. That means roughly around $300, $325, anywhere from $275 to $325. I don't know the exact amount. I'll check it, inshallah, let you know. But if you have above the amount of nisab, then you qualify to sacrifice an animal. So by all means, if Allah has blessed you with that amount, and $50 is not a lot to buy in a year, and this is the overseas rate. I know people are going to come locally and they're going to say, but brother so-and-so locally is charging $250. So how come yours is $50? Well, ours is not local. Ours is overseas, and it gives you all the possible countries in which it can be done. So Ali Ibrahim is a gentleman you just saw right now who took the recording device from me. He will inshallah be in charge. So after Jummah Salah, he'll be at the table, and he'll be selling you those shares. This week, you're welcome to get it next week, whenever you want. After August 27th, the brother has said, the price may increase thereafter. So if you do it before August 27th, inshallah, it'll be beneficial. Once again, it is $50 per share, $350 per share.